Please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 5, and our preaching today will be centering on verses 4 and 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we confess that we will not be able to receive your word without your grace and your mercy. And as we sang, without you opening our eyes and our ears to receive it, we do ask you, Lord, that you might teach us of the glory of your Son, of his salvation, and Lord, that we might have fellowship with you, even as this book declares. And Lord, we do pray for all under the sound of the word this afternoon, that they might hear your word and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. And we ask you this for Jesus' sake. Amen. So we're reading a book that its purpose is that we might have fellowship with the Father and the Son, that our joy might be full, that we may not continue in sin, that we might not be deceived by false teachers, and that we might have an assurance in Christ that we have eternal life and continue believing that he is the Son of God and have eternal life in him. And as we look down upon these verses, I want to remember that all of this was purchased by Christ. His death on the cross purchased every blessing we would ever receive, and he in the heavens now is providing all that through his intercession, that every day is ordered by him to look to him, never to look away from him to the commandments, but to look with him to the commandments. And we're looking at some promises in this particular message, but I want to remember that what we, in our last message that we had on 1 John, we looked at four things that God would have us doing. And we saw that we are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're loving his brethren, or loving the brethren, keeping his commandments and overcoming the world. And our message today is going to zero in more fully on that last commandment, or this last blessing of ours, that we are overcoming the world. Now, it says again in verse 4 and 5, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And so, as we look at these two verses, I want us to center on three truths here about overcoming the world. First of all, the new birth ensures that we will overcome the world. All who are born again overcome the world. Secondly, faith secures our victory that we overcome the world. And then pointing more specifically to in our faith, the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. So the new birth, faith, and the one who believes in Jesus that he is the Son of God, all of these are truths that help us overcome the world. Well, as we consider this, I want us to think, what is the world? Well, we know it's not the physical world that the Lord created, heavens and the earth, the seas, the oceans. That's not the world that we're trying to overcome, although sometimes it seems like it's fighting against us. And then it's not the world of believers. We're not overcoming the world of believers. The Pharisees actually said the world has gone after him. It looks like everybody's following Jesus, and it's not that world. It's not the world that God spoke of when he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but everlasting life. So what is this world? Well, It is the world that is seeking to destroy us. And as we see in 1 John chapter 2, if you look over there in verse 15, in this same book, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." And so this is the world he's speaking of that we overcome. And it's a world that in all of its facets is seeking to destroy, can't destroy God. So it is now attacking all of us individually as images of God. Every saint of God is got a target on his or her back. And the enemy doesn't care how he brings that individual down, and say with a stick of dynamite at one moment in time, or just a spoon a day, working to destroy our faith in Christ. He doesn't care what it is, whether it's your personal faith. He wants to destroy that and turn you away from the Lord, make you doubt the Lord, question his salvation, question that the cross is sufficient, that Christ is sufficient. Or he'll begin working on the institutions that God has arranged, the marriage. He'll begin working on that a little bit at a time, hear a little partial forgiveness, continuing to remember this particular sin and bringing it up, and just bringing a wedge day by day until finally there is a destruction of that. Or how about the church? He doesn't care how he divides individuals in the church. He can do it with a critical spirit that just keeps festering and festering and festering, or some dissension between individuals or families until finally there is a division that cannot be solved, at least until the Lord comes back. And so I believe everything can be solved in Christ, but there are some divisions that are so terrible that it seems like they have not been overcome yet. And so here is this world that the Lord Jesus, he himself has overcome it. And if we look a little further in this particular book of other things it says about the world in this negative sense, in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him." And then down in verse 13, it says, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." So the world doesn't know us. Well, they could know who we are. They probably know a lot about us on the internet, and they could find us and all that sorts of things, but they don't know us as Christians. They don't know our relationship with the Lord. It's something that if they, whatever they know of it, they don't understand it, and they would despise it and even seek to destroy it. And it says that the world hates us. The Lord Jesus Christ told us that we shouldn't marvel at that. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more are they going to call they of his household, it says in Matthew chapter 10. And so the world hates us, and it hates you. How do we know this? Well, it put our Savior on the cross, and our sins put him there. We would have hated the Savior as well if we weren't converted. And yet the world hates our Savior. The world hates us. In John chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them." So all this communication going on in the world, they love to have their thoughts, and they receive them, their lies, and they keep them and pass them on. But they will not receive us. Now, when God comes in conversion, and that is our first point, that the new birth overcomes the world. I mean, it's how many things does the new birth call change? It changes everything. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Hear this Jesus that you didn't really love, now you love him. He is your desire. He's all, you're all in all. He died for you on the cross. He paid for every sin, and you long to be with him. I mean, you remember there was that disciple who wanted to be with him all the time, and he said, "Well, no, I want you to go to Decapolis where you're from and tell everyone what the Lord has done for your soul." Decapolis is 10 cities. He had a lot of work to do. And so, but he wanted to be with Jesus all the time. We want to be like that, and we're going to get to be like that. Our greatest desire is going to be fulfilled, and the new birth has produced this. And because we're born again, then we see the world in a different way. It's not like, hey, I want the world, the things in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the pride of life that the world was providing for me. Now it's my enemy, and I'm fleeing that. I'm coming to Christ, and Christ is helping me by this being born again. Everything's new, and now the world is my enemy, and I am overcoming it. Yes, I fail. Yes, at times it seems like it might be winning the day, but it will not. The Lord has promised that those that are born again are going to be with him forever. The scoreboard is already finished. The victory is there. And it looks like the enemy's winning at time. He's lying to you and say, look, it looks like we're making ground. We're coming, overcoming you. No, you're not. Christ is risen from the dead. He has already entered into heaven for me, and I'm seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And the sin that you're telling me of, I confess before the Lord, and the Lord has promised to forgive it and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And so this new birth is such a glorious thing. First of all, this new birth, we enter into a new kingdom. We were in the kingdom of darkness, and we're taken out of that, and we're birthed into the kingdom of his dear Son, a kingdom of light, of love, of glory, of grace, to ever walk with him. Sometimes it seems dimly in this life, but he has not left our side. I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And on your worst day, you can say, the Lord is still my helper. He has never left me nor forsaken me. The enemy will say otherwise, but you will overcome him, and you will overcome the world by this new life you have in you. Our dear Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And when you're born again, you're born into this kingdom where Christ is now living in you wherever you go. And so you're now being born again, not only to be in this new kingdom, you now have eyes to see and ears to hear. We just sang it. And it's right there in our song. And these eyes and these ears we have been given to us by the Lord. We actually see the enemy coming. We know his devices. We overcome them by grace. And as it says later here, by faith. We're going to walk with the Lord because we're born again. We have ears to hear and eyes to see. And thirdly, it tells us, because we're born again, that we are going to keep his commandments. We read that the commandments are not grievous, but the world would say they are. I mean, look at the commandments we had this morning in the message. How grievous is that to the world? I mean, it's like you're going to overturn everything that ever happened, everything we've ever had women achieve in the last 100 years. They'll say it's something like that. Well, what the Lord's been doing for women the last 100 years is saving people out of this world. And those women are seeing that God has commanded them to be in submission to their husbands and to be submission to him in this way, as the church is to Christ. And he's commanded husbands to love their wives and give themselves for them and to lead the home and to be men who can lead in the church. This is God's way. And I was born a man. I will die a man. And I mourn for any time my wife is not being blessed by that, and she has to forgive me for not being the kind of man I should be. But if I'm being the man I should be, it makes submission a lot easier for her to walk in submission to me. And that those commandments are not grievous for Christians. They're what we want. They're what we're made for. And as the scripture says, that Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so we've been born again to love him and to keep his commandments. The commandments, and they're not grievous. Now, it's very interesting as we look at this word overcoming. If you go to Revelation, you don't have to go there, but you remember that the Lord Jesus speaks to 7 churches. And maybe you've seen this before, but to every one of the 7 churches, he talks to them about overcoming. To the Ephesians, he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And then in the next church, he says, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the third, he says, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna. And to the next, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And then he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. Him, and then him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And then finally, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne. And these are not potentials. It's like, you must overcome, but you will. You see, we believe the doctrine of perseverance. Once saved, always saved, but always once saved, we are going to want to always be saved and walk in that and to overcome. It's not potentially we will overcome the world because we're born again. We overcome it. And what a blessing that is. This world overcome by definition means that they hold fast their faith even unto death against the power of their foes and temptations and persecutions. Think of all the martyrs. I mean, Latimer and Ridley, they were burned to death in England, and yet they believed that God was going to use this death as a candle that would light the way, and it certainly did. And the enemy wanted them to turn away from Christ, and they said, we cannot. And they overcame the world, and every martyr that ever died overcame the world that wanted to destroy it and pull it away from Christ. So we thank the Lord for this new birth that help us, that causes us to overcome the world. Secondly, it says in 1 John 5:4, the second part of that verse, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You notice it's already overcome it. Sometimes, well, Lord, my faith is weak. I feel like I'm faltering and failing. And the Lord is much stronger. And it says that you are kept by the power of God. Our faith can be weak, but he can strengthen it. He can get us through whatever it is, and there's no temptation taking us, but such is his common demand. But God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able, but will with the temptation also make a way for us to escape that we may be able to bear it. And faith finds that way and overcomes the world. So the world wants us to lust after its things. It wants us to have pride in life. And yet faith, looking to Christ, overcomes that. We don't need the world's things. We don't need its lust. We use it. I mean, we have a car, we have a house, but that's not our God. If it's taken away, we still have Christ. Remember our brothers and sisters mentioned in the book of Hebrews that they took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. I mean, the Lord Jesus said, leap for joy when they persecute you. And I believe it's the Spirit of God who can give us that, because we don't know what's going to happen to the dollar. It says in God we trust, but I'm afraid that's what people trust in, that God, that's the God that they trust, that coin. It all can pass away. I mean, all things are in flux. You look at the world scene and what's happening to money and Bitcoin, really? Some kind of digital currency that's out there that really is nothing? It's just in people's brains, or, oh no, it's on a computer somewhere. That's my money. All of this is going to pass away. And the world has all this trust in it. But we've overcome the world. Our faith is in Christ. If it's all gone, we have him. We'll have each other, bearing one another's burdens, as we read in the book of Acts. And so faith overcomes the world. And I want to mention something that Lloyd-Jones in his sermon on these verses mentions. He talks about two kinds of faith. It's very interesting what he talks about. He says the first faith is kind of a passive faith where, and he quotes the verse in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. He says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. It's like we run into Jesus and he answers every need. We just go to Christ and he's protecting us. We read it in Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord encamps around about them and delivers them that fears him. If you're in Christ, you're safe. It's like you can rest. It's all over. The battle's over. You have overcome the world in Christ. No matter what it says, no matter the ploy, the way it's trying to destroy you, your family, your marriage, your church, you have Christ. And you run into him and it's safe. And he talks about this kind of passive faith. And it's one we all have. But then he talks about an active faith. the faith that literally does run to Christ, where it looks at the verse in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says, "Faith, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Don't you want that kind of reward? By faith you do. You run to Christ, and he gives you more faith. He gives you grace. He gives you blessings by going to him and asking him. And so there is this active kind of faith. And faith, whether passive or active, it overcomes the world. It's this faith that we sang about. I mean, wasn't this wonderful as we sang? It says, faith, he gives us to believe it. Where does your faith come from? Well, it's a supernatural gift of God. It's a miracle that we have this faith. And we worship him that, Lord, at one time I was an unbeliever. And I mean, you might have been an individual. I know two individuals who actually said they don't know when they were saved because they always believed from childhood. Well, they know that they had to be converted, and they know they wrestle with sin, but they still have faith in Christ. And we overcome the world by this miraculous faith that God has given us. So if we compare these two kind of faiths together, we have faith rests and faith also runs. Faith hides itself in Christ, but faith also goes out and heralds Christ to everyone. Faith clings to Christ, but faith diligently seeks him as well. And so we have these two kind of faiths, and they both, the faith that God has given us, it overcomes the world. And thirdly, it promises, the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God overcomes the world. Verse 5 says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus is the Son of God. If you do a word study on that phrase, Son of God, it's all over the New Testament. In fact, it's in the Old Testament too. Remember when Daniel, when they looked into the burning fiery furnace, they were supposed to be three in there, and oh no, there's a fourth who's like unto the Son of God. It was Jesus in there preserving them in the burning fiery furnace, a great promise for all of us as we go through the flames of this world. But you have this belief in the Son of God that you didn't have. And I've mentioned it, that this is a miracle of faith that we have. And I want to read 1 Corinthians 2:12-16, because this is not where you came from. You did not have this natively. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now get this, what it says of you before you were a believer, before you believed that Jesus was the Son of God. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that astounding? At one time we couldn't even receive the fact that he was the Son of God. God comes in power and we begin believing that he is the Son of God, and we actually have the mind of Christ. This is not the infinite mind of Christ that knows everything. This is the mind of Christ that receives the word of God as the word of God and receives it from the Father and will have nothing else. We want his word only. So the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, this is a miraculous thing, and you have the mind of Christ. Secondly, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you love him and seek to keep his commandments. And we've read that you love me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God receives those commandments from the Son and seeks to keep him. Many commandments in the scripture. There's the Ten Commandments. There's other commandments flowing from that. And Brother Tom has been blessing us going through the Ten Commandments. But it looks at any commandment. And because I believe Jesus is the Son of God, I want to honor him. I want to love him. I want to keep those commandments. Now, thirdly, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you will overcome the world because he overcame the world. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." He is victorious. He has declared the end from the beginning, and he has declared that he would rule in everything. No, nothing has ever overcome Christ. Even his death on the cross, 3 days in the tomb, it looks like it's over. And he rose from the dead, and he fulfilled his word. He ascended into heaven and is now blessing us in the fact he overcame the world. The devil's lie will always be, you're not going to make it. Others may make it, but not you. Look at your sins. You keep sinning in that same way, you can't be a Christian. And we go back to the Lord. Jesus has said that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven the sons of men, except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And a Christian cannot commit that. Only God can keep us, and the Lord Jesus has promised that. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We will, by looking to Christ, by believing that he is the Son of God, we will overcome and are overcoming the world. So, no matter how this world is coming at us, if we're born again, we'll overcome the world. If we have faith in the Lord, we are overcoming the world. And if we have love, if we have faith in the Jesus, that he is the Son of God. You know, to say that he is the Son of God is to say he is God himself. You believe that he is God. There are those who don't believe he's God. There are those who don't believe he came in the flesh. We believe this. And the Lord says we will overcome the world simply because we believe that, truly believe it. So I ask you this, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we always have to look at every day as the last day. Well, if I have to stand before God on this day, how will I stand? How will I answer all the sins I've ever committed? You know, there's some very fearful statements in the Word of God. One of the fearful statements is in the Sermon on the Mount when the Lord says, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, we've done many wonderful things in your name. We've cast out demons in your name. And he will say, depart from me, you wicked. I didn't know you. That is a fearful statement. How in the world do we as Christians even go beyond that and say, well, Lord, what if I'm one of those many that will say, Lord, Lord? All we can do is go to Jesus himself and trust his merits, his work, his perfect life, every commandment kept by him for us, unto the Father, and then to bear every sin, every single sin we've ever committed for all of our life to the tree and say, Lord, you're my only hope. I'm not going to come to you with anything I've ever done. If I've ever cast out a demon in your name, I'm not worried about that. If I've ever done one work in your name, I cannot trust that. But I do trust that when you died on that cross, you were dying for sinners. You were dying for the ungodly, and I've qualified. I have been ungodly. I've not been like you, and you save every ungodly person that comes to you, and the promise is for everyone here. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can't open the door any wider than that. Yes, there are the elect. Yes, he chooses, and they are going to come, but they will come, and they may come. And you come to Christ and you find out he receives everyone who comes to God by him. You'll find out that he rejoices in heaven more over one sinner that repents than over 99 that think they need no repentance. And so come. And so I ask the question, are you trusting in the Lord Jesus? If you were to meet him today, could you say, Lord, I trust that he is the Son of God. I have trust that every promise you've made, that everyone who comes to Jesus, you will not cast them out. And I have come. And that's all we can hope. Because the promise is to the believer who believes only in Christ, trusts only in his work, and they are safe. How safe is that? It's very unsafe to trust anything you've ever done. That's worse than a slippery slope. That's in the gates of hell. To trust anything you have done. You can't even trust in your own faith. Some people that trust in their own faith. God doesn't say trust in your own faith. He says, faith is looking to me. looking upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. So I look forward to those days when we'll be with the Lord forever, but we must wait. And we're going to be battling and fighting and battling and fighting, but the war is over and the victory is won. I have overcome the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we bless you that we can cast our whole soul upon you. And Lord, you receive us through the Lord Jesus Christ, lovingly and gladly, kindly, as our Father. Lord, we praise you for a Savior whom we may call upon day and night and trust in, who is our Lord, our Master, our High Priest, our Prophet, our King. We praise you for the Holy Spirit who keeps us trusting, keeps convicting us of sin, keeps drawing us closer to you. Lord, as you promised, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And so, Lord, we draw nigh to you by the blood of Christ. We draw nigh to you, Lord, by the finished work of Christ. And pray, Lord, that you keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, we have a week before us if you give it. And we pray that we would grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We pray for anyone here who is not yet trusted in you, Lord, that they would not cast off what they've heard, but they would cleave to Christ Jesus and know that in cleaving to him, they have him. We pray, Father, Lord, for those in our church that have gone through bereavement, Lord, who are still reeling with the loss of loved ones, that, Lord, you would encourage them and help them, and give them grace. Father, we pray for VBS coming up soon. Lord, you would bless those 50 children coming to trust in you, to believe in you, to rely upon you, and help the teachers to teach the truth in love. Lord, we commit our work to you and to this whole, our whole lives to you, Lord, for Jesus' sake. Amen.